30 times going.
Let's go to Numbers 15.
Why do they call it Numbers? Why do they call it Numbers?
It's got a lot of numbers in it. I don't know. Numbers tracks the path in the wilderness and then into, I think it goes into the, when they get into the promise. Anyway, let's go to verse 37. Well, let's start in 32.
What chapter?
Numbers 15. And verse 32. This crazy one that seems unfair and hard to believe. But it relates to something we're going to get into in Jude in a minute. But in verse 32, while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron, unto all the congregation. And they put him to inward, because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones. And he died, as the Lord commanded Moses. Now we're at this point, as we've talked about so often, that one of the primary commands was the idea that the fruit of the, let me start over again. Let me turn this on. Oh, I did turn it on. Is that the Sabbath day itself was only a parable for Christ. And so now the Sabbath is no longer a day of the week. The Sabbath is what it means to be in Christ, and Christ in you. And here we have this incredible thing. This man gathered sticks on the Sabbath day, and he was killed. Does that, anybody, we've talked about it before, but anything come to mind with this?
You might have a special place in heaven, being such a parable.
I recall that Jesus and the disciples picked wheat, grains of wheat.
Right, because he was the Sabbath.
Yeah. You asked what that reminded you of, that's what it reminds me of.
Well, what does it remind you of in terms of your act, your life?
That you rest, you live in rest.
Right. You do no work on the Sabbath day.
But what? It's like he broadened it when Jesus broadened the idea that even if you think of adultery, you've committed it. Even if you think of doing, of exerting yourself over trusting in God, and you're guilty of breaking the Sabbath.
And I mean, this has to be kind of important.
Well, it hopefully translates into what it means to be at rest. Being in rest doesn't mean you're laying on the couch.
What does it mean?
It means
means you're not exerting self in your life. You are in confidence that God has things under control or whatever.
You broke the Sabbath.
What?
You've broken the Sabbath.
If what?
By working on the Sabbath day.
If you get out and rest.
Where does it say that?
Well, that's the whole implication. He was...
Who knows whether he was in the rest or not?
Well, we assume he wasn't, or they wouldn't have made this parable, so...
The parable has a message to us. But the Sabbath day is a big deal.
Yeah, it's no longer a day.
It's a life.
It's a life.
All right, well, that's
I think the ultimate part of this has to do with love. It doesn't have to do with your activities.
Well, it does have to do with your activities. That's what it's just where we read this.
Okay.
But anyway, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto children of Israel, and bid them that they make them fringes and the borders of their garments throughout their generations. And they put upon the fringe of the borders a riband of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that you may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, and that you seek not after your own heart, your own eyes, after which you go a-whoring, that you may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God.
I never realized that this thing we read for so many years was backed up right against that scripture about that person being stoned. That's part of the
right. You're not seeking your own heart, your own eyes, your own mind, after which you go a-whoring.
Part of the Shema that they read every time they read the scriptures, they were reminded. It was right immediately after that.
I don't get what you just saw.
Well, remember when we read the Shema, that was one of the three readings every time we read the scriptures. We did that for a while. And just the fact that it comes right immediately after this man is put to death, it talks about the fringe. It seems important to me. That's why.
Right, the fringe.
Remember the short Shema we read, right?
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I just don't see the spiritual link. Comment about its important, but I didn't see where it made a link to anything.
Well, I see where Pete's getting at, I think. I mean, there's this riding the blue, and we already know the blue has to do with law. And so there's something.
We know a lot?
Blue.
Where does that come from?
Well, it's what we've been studying about the tabernacle. The blue had to do with heaven and law and perfection. And
it has to do with the end result of your life.
Anyway, the point is that what we were studying, even if it was wrong, suggested that the blue had to do with the law, and now you've got a fringe on your garment to remind you what the law says. Right after a story about violating the law, which is kind of, that certainly makes a link.
Right, and in verse 39, seek not after your own heart and your own eyes. That's what that guy was doing afterwards, right after he was seeking after his own eyes.
The point was, he broke the Sabbath by using his own senses instead of faith. He used it by using his mind to meet a need instead of faith. Remember that this is the definition of fornication in the Old Testament and the New. Isn't just having sex out of order. It's about going anywhere other than God for your sustenance. I mean, we have to start seeing that faith means a whole lot more than we think it means. It means ceasing from your own labors in any way. And that riband of blue was that incredible story in the New Testament where the woman with an issue of blood just finally touched the hem of his garment and was healed. And that whole idea was that that had more importance. I mean, that'll be celebrated in eternity. But anyway, let's go to the whole idea of it is that remember the commandment of the Lord and do them, that you seek not after your own heart and your own eyes, after which you use to go whoring, after which you use to commit fornication. Hey, I mean, it's whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And this was supposedly celebrated at every Seder meal. Your mind has 10,000 things maybe more than that, but throughout our lifetimes, of course, that much more than that, where we think that we've got something and we need to do this. This guy, probably, maybe his son or somebody didn't pick up the sticks for the fire before the Sabbath. And so his mind said, well, I'm going to go ahead and do it. He didn't even think it was rebellion. Doesn't matter what we think. You understand that about the scriptures? It matters what you think, whether you will be obedient or not. And then what we're going to read in a minute is Korah's rebellion. And that's what we're going to read this chapter in Numbers 16, or part of it. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abimaram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, and Tokmen. No, wait a minute. Huh? I tell you what, let's do. Let's go. I'm going to go back to Jude. We'll do this later. Who's this stranger in here that just walked in the door? Good to see you.
Tall, dark.
I'm not too sure it's good to see. Well, I won't go there. All right, we are in verse 12 of Jude. Well, to put it in context, on verse 11, woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. And that gainsaying of Korah is what number 16 is about. These are spots in your feast of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So let's look at some of those things. Let's look at this. There are clouds without water. Everybody understand what spots in your feast of charity mean, right?
I just, as a context, ten is, I think, what we studied yesterday about the brute beast, knowing
that they know naturally as brute beasts,
yeah,
they corrupt themselves.
Yeah, so it's comparing the natural man and his inclinations to spiritual man.
Well, not, I mean, this is talking about Christians. This is believers. This is two believers. And that's why, again, it says without fear. To be without fear means that you're not fearing God. Now, you can make great arguments, you know, you don't fear Him because you love Him. Well, that argument goes only so far. You don't fear Him because you don't think you will be punished for your own rebellion. Well, go on. Let's go to carried about is just that's carried alongside, but there, this is typical in any desert climate, where you see a cloud in the distance, and you see it coming at you, and you haven't had any rain for days, and everything's dying, and this cloud comes, and everybody gets excited and happy, and then it doesn't rain, and it's again that. You understand they're talking about people that are clouds without water.
Yeah, I mean, these are the men that crept in where's to the congregation.
Right. Okay, now, whose fruit withereth. This means, this is referring to most of the fruit in Israel and even in the wilderness, in Egypt there. The fruit comes in the fall. And that's still true in most, I think, in most places, that the fruit of what you, of a tree or whatever, comes in the fall. Man. These are autumn trees without fruit. They either tried to have fruit too early and it was in the middle of summer and the fruit withered, or it just didn't bear fruit at all. It's twice dead, not only the apparent death in late fall when the leaves fall, but a real death. So the only thing that remains is to pluck them up by the roots. That's what this whole thing about. About feeding yourself without fear. Clouds without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Now, we're going to look at three scriptures out on this raging, twice fierce, wild, undisciplined waves. Go to Isaiah 57 first. I'll try to keep it in order. Remember, in morning Bible study, when Ronnie was here, you know, I never can keep myself on it. I'm just doing something. I go off on all these tangents, but I'm sure you've never even seen
never
that.
Done stuff before.
What?
Never done stuff before.
I thought. But it used to drive Ronnie bananas because he'd give it in his idea, and then he'd go to the next chapter or something where that I said to go, and then all of a sudden I'm saying going back the other way. And it just wasn't orderly to his sense of being in order. But anyhow.
An orderly guy.
Isaiah 57. Did I say that?
Yeah.
Isaiah Well, we should read the whole chapter, but that would take us forever. Let's start in verse 7. Upon a lofty and high mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. And so, what happened? This is the midnight hours that we talk about often. That what happens in these times? For me, it was the time that I always thought up stuff. But this is that like you're lying in bed and you have these, you know, ideas, and this is going to happen, and this is what I'm going to do. But anyway, then let's read about that. It's just upon a high and lofty mountain as I set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifices. Now, this isn't some thing that we're studying history. This is what we do. In bed, you offer sacrifices. And that's what the thinking process does. You may not think of it as a sacrifice at the time, but trust me on this. Behind the doors also, and the posts, hast thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed, and made thee a... Oh, nice going. I got all those things here. Made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest the bed where thou sawest. And thou wentest to the king with ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off, and did debase thyself even unto hell. Now, this isn't the right king. You know, Melech is the right king. Molech is the false king. Molech is the seat of Satan, or his dominions. And that's what we do. That's what our minds are. I got up. I got a email from Pat. Those of you who know he is. And it's this long, he offered a question. I guess it was on some kind of a deal. But anyway, so he had the question is, What is Satan's seat and where is it? And so they had all these opinions. But not one person said Satan's seat was their mind. But that's the point. That's where we go up to the false king in our minds at the bed. And we send our messengers afar off. And we're praying, really, we think we're praying to God, but if you're praying to God with regard to an end result, you are really, what you are doing is you're praying to Molech, the false god, or Satan incarnate. And listen to what he says.
So Satan isn't a force outside of your mind, like the Holy Spirit's outside of your mind, that constantly,
brings you to repentance, I hope is the word.
Peter challenged for you.
I didn't understand the last statement.
That compete or challenge each other for rank,
dominance.
Dominance reigning in your surrendered soul.
Well, yeah, and what the and what you're doing when you're thinking up all this stuff. You've got, you know, great ideas and all this. What you're doing is you're praying. But you're praying to the wrong God. You're praying to the God of this world rather than faith. Do you understand that a little bit? And that's what, and then you send your messengers afar off. Well, you got things for them to do in order to get that done. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Does everybody understand that? This is what we do. And it's not a faith. And whatsoever is not a faith is sin. So this is a description of what we do in the alone time when we can't go to sleep and we're thinking up all this crap.
What would it look like if we were in faith?
You pray.
What?
Prayer.
Well, you just talked about prayer.
But not a prayer, not for something, but prayer for revelation, prayer for understanding. Not praying about things of the world.
For your personal success and things like that.
Well, yeah, but it's endless things. I mean, it's what this should do about a government or a president or a senator or what somebody should do about this or somebody should do about that and what you should do about this thing and that thing is going to happen and that will make this happen. And so all of these thoughts are your prayers, but they're prayers to Molech. You went to the king with ointment and it did increase thy perfumes. What your perfumes are, the altar, they're from the altar of incense that should be in the Holy of Holies of the holy place, but they're not. They're your perfumes, your sweet odor, sweet odors to thinking that'll help you. You've got it, you get it together, and then you have this is what I need, and then this is what I do about that. I mean, it's endless. So, but you've gone to the king, but it's the wrong king. It's Molech instead of Melech. And did increase thy perfumes and did send thy messengers far off.
At the risk of calling down problems in my own head, when you're praying like that, you're really playing with the things you're praying about, and you want God to be the messenger to make it happen. And that's send out your messengers. You want God to be your errand boy. This is what I want to happen, God, make it happen. It's in the wrong order.
Right, because it's not God you're praying to. All right. And did send thy messengers afar off, far off, and did debase thyself and even unto hell. Because it's all. Everything that goes on, 99% of it is without faith. All right, let's go on. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. For thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. Now this goes on forever and ever. That's what all after when the child reaches that point of self-awareness, as we've talked about, when that sweet little baby, all of a sudden, that sweet little baby turns into a con artist. Does anybody disagree with that?
I don't know about the term a con artist.
You know how to manipulate your parents. That's a con man. Or a woman.
It's true. Yeah, if you have kids, you know that. So, 2 year old. It's sad if we have a 2 year old con artist.
But watch them.
Okay. I got videos.
No.
It's true.
Little Gary Jr., brought his new child to see me. I'm in bed, and he comes in with...
Vaughn.
Huh?
Vaughn.
Yeah. And Vaughn is just cute as a button. But, man, how old is he now?
2.5.
Yeah. But he plays it to the hilt. And it's just amazing to watch. That's why we have. That's why that there's that period in all of our lives from birth to 18 months. So that's when there's no awareness of self.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this something clicks, and you become what the world is. You become, yeah, I gotta figure out how to say this right to get it right. Well, here I can go to school and I can learn how to write better, and I can learn how to raise money, and I can, and you, it's endless. And whatsoever is not of faith is sin. It doesn't ever stop. But that's the beginning of massive sin, because it's not faith. It's still fun to watch. But it's even more fun to watch when you see spiritually what's going on. So thou art wearied in the greatness of your way, but you sayest not, there is no hope. For thou hast found the life of thine own hand. Therefore you're not grieved. In other words, you got another solution for that issue. Now there's an issue come up, and now, wow. I'm worried about it. I got to do something. This is gone. And all of a sudden, you found you're grieved, and then you go through the process, and you find again, as you've done 10 million times, the life of your in your own hand, and therefore you're not grieved. So there's no repentance. Anybody, do you understand this? And this is the kicker. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope. For thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore now thou art not grieved. And of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me? Now I laid, nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held my peace even of old? And thou fearest me not? You don't fear me yet. I will declare thy righteousness. Now listen to this one. And thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let the companies, there are all these guys and things and ideas, let the companies deliver thee. But the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them. But he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast you up, cast you up. Prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. And that stumbling block out of the way of his people is their mind. And you finally, when you've had enough, you're tired of it, there's no more sustenance or satisfaction in the world, that's the only time you begin to fear him.
You know, reading this reminds me of Solomon, who had so much. He had enough that he realized that there wasn't any cheese up that tunnel.
Wait a minute. You reminds you of whom?
Solomon.
Oh, Solomon. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and I was thinking of my own life. I've had some things that people wouldn't want to have, but for the most part, I've had a lot of things that I really wanted, and I've had enough of them that I maybe don't care as much about it as I used to.
Well, that's the point. The point of him is clear. It says, he only preaches the gospel to the poor. But poor has nothing to do with money. Poor is when you no longer gain sustenance or satisfaction from anything in time and space.
Doesn't it say poor in spirit? Isn't that part of that, what you're talking about? Poor alone implies not having stuff. But poor in spirit means you have no essence in you, no life, no...
No,
without God.
No, but it's not just your... It's not... Spirit is too... It's too wavy or something. Because you can call that to mean anything. It's that you have all of the ideas and everything you can think up of, you in your mind, you finally see there's no satisfaction or sustenance. If I could just get to Paris, I want to go to Paris. Well, I've been to Paris. I'm not too sure. Anyway, or to the Mediterranean or any place. And I've been to most of the places. There's nothing there. There's no there because everywhere I go, I take me with me.
And I wonder if poor in spirit, the way Gary's talking about it, which is not wrong, is that you don't have anything you're placing value in. You may have a lot of things, but if you're not placing value in them, then you're poor in spirit. Right?
Satisfaction.
Oh man, I've done it again. I'm going to pedal a little bit more time. And you shall, in verse, in verse 11, excuse me, 14, and shall say, cast you up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. Now, what is the stumbling block? The stumbling block is thinking that you have... It's your mind. Can't be fixed. Can't ever do anything right from God's standpoint. It's more subtle than any beast of the field. Cons you constantly. It's a little baby, at least. They haven't learned to con themselves. But you understand, you con yourself by thinking you have the new thing to do. And every one of these things that you find a new thing to do, What is it? It's fornicating with the world. This is what the preaching of the cross is about. It's not about how to get elected or how to get rich or it's how to get poor. How to get hated of all men. You don't want that, of course. But you start blowing holes in all of the value systems that every form of thought has in the world, I promise you, you'll have more enemies than you can count. But it's time. Time to start living by faith and faith alone. Faith is a verb. Yeah. All right, take a big guy. Make sure. Sister, you want some oatmeal?
Sure.
Fernando, place a block on the... Well, it's a recycle, so you may have to go through it about here. Wow. So, well, I don't really care.
Okay. See, I'm trying to get... I can't find anything that I can cut my beard with.
I don't want to. So, okay, according to... cost 47% chance by one. That's not the hour by hour, that's 4 hours by 4 hours.
Are you counting the day?
Yeah, today. When I looked last night, it looked like there'd be an open spot right now that would last an hour or two. We would run out there and turn this stuff off out of my truck so I can help somebody else.
Another different times they open. 8:30, 9:00.
It's open right now. Well, it's open by the time you get there. It's open at 8:30.
Okay, yeah. But now it's open.
What does yours say?
Well, it says 5 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. If that's this morning, it's nothing. And I looked at the weather forecast this morning. I believe it was no rain till 5 o'clock today.
Well, yeah,
that's what he's.
But that's what I'm saying. I'm planning on going with it. I mean, my phone here says there's a fair chance at 1 p.m. But
Richard, do you want cinnamon and honey?
All right.
Yes.
Then you want a couple things on the report?
Yeah, I'll drive the truck up here. We'll pick them up.
I think what I'll do is I'll just. You got to go now. I'll just go to the rest of the week.
I think that's the right answer. If we wait 20 minutes, it may rain.
And either way, and it doesn't look like it's going to. And if it's out there and get a little bit wet, it's not going to be going. And that stuff.
Hey! How are you?
Old Army saying, it ain't raining, we ain't raining.
There's milk in the refrigerator.
No.
I mean, if you want to heat it up, it's
just. There's.
Oh, I got coffee. I was literally just there.
Oh, okay.
Like right over here.
I didn't know. Ship operate without you?
Yeah, pretty well.
Huh?
Oh, that's where
they maybe.
Pretty well. Well,
skin cancer. I think wearing a hat's a really good idea to kind of get you.